família lá.
Quem é melhor mulher? Quem é Maria? Quem é Maria? Quem é Maria? Maria?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and I'm very excited to be here with all of you today. My guest, who will be joining me in just a little bit, is Nicole Anderson. She leads the Pharmacy to Farm program over at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and we'll be telling you more about this exciting Pharmacy to Farm program in just a little bit. But first, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some events you may want to attend, and some ways that you can take action. You know, I'm all about action, especially these days with what's going on in our current administration and the challenge we all have with climate change. It's just so important for all of us to become active citizens and do our part. And I put on my newsletter this week a take action to tell the USDA, that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Organic Standards Board, to remove non-organic celery powder from organic foods. Now, you see an ingredient like celery powder on something organic and you think nothing of it. But turns out non-organic celery seed, they have found that if they amp up the applications of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer onto the celery, that it actually creates the same functional and biological reactions that synthetic nitrates and nitrites do. And so for organic meats, you know, where it will say no nitrates, you expect that to be the case, but if they're putting in non-organic celery powder into an organic product, and they can say no nitrates, the real reality is it still does have the same chemical reaction. And so those that understand that are really pushing to get celery powder removed from the list of approved, national list of allowed and prohibited substances on organic foods. And so right now this is listed as an allowable food, and we're trying to get that removed. So there's a petition on my website to try to remove that. And one of the things that so many of these wonderful grassroots organizations like NOFA New York and all the other Northeast Organic Farming Associations, along with cornucopia.org and so many of the grassroots organizations, we're trying to uphold the integrity of organic. And that means that you really need to look at things through a microscope to really see what they're allowing and who's behind it. And what's happened is so many of these big mega food corporations and biotech corporations have infiltrated the USDA National Organic Standards Board so that it is no longer being made up of people who really want to uphold the integrity of organic. It's being made up of people that have profit to be made by weakening the standards. And so we need everybody's help in getting behind that. I also, wrote about this week in my newsletter how mega food corporations are wanting to get a piece of the meat alternative action. They see the profit being made by Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat. And we all know, I've written about this and we've seen it in the news, things like the Impossible Burger, it's made up with GMOs and they're questioning the safety of some of the ingredients in there. But Impossible Foods is at least an organization that was trying to come up with a meat alternative, not purely for profit, but also because they know that the impact that industrial meat has on the environment is really bad. And so their attention or intention was to create a product that would reduce meat consumption in this country and get meat lovers to know that they could have an alternative that would satisfy their meat craving without actually being meat. And so there's some good there. But for the mega food companies who are in it purely for the profit, you really have to question how they're going to do it. What are they going to put in there? You know, their standards are just not the same as a young company, a grassroots company that's coming from a place of caring about the environment or caring about one's health. So we have to watch as those products come out and they hit the shelves, which are happening already, that we really look at them. You know, all meat alternatives are not the same, and you really want to look at that and pick ones that are going to satisfy you, taste good, but also be better for the environment and better for your health. To have a meat alternative that is completely a genetically modified product that is made with, you know, not real food is really not beneficial to your body, and you really don't want to do that. Some things that are going on that I want to tell you about. I am gearing up for my annual Thanksgiving feast for those in need. This will be my 25th year, so I'm really trying to celebrate it and make it bigger and better than ever. It is a community event. It's an opportunity for people in the community to come together at the IE Green Homestead to cook for those that really don't have access to good food. They may not have a kitchen. They may not have a home. Either way, they are hungry and are happy to wait online for hours for this really delicious home-cooked meal that we provide for them every year. And we serve it in Rufus King Park, which is in Jamaica, Queens, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And like I said, this is our 25th year. We partner with the River Fund New York Food Pantry, which serves more hungry people than any other food pantry in New York City. And they have been doing this for a long time, and I'm so happy to be partnering with them. So if you're interested in helping to create a feast for those that are in need, you can sign up on my website. There's a sign up. Or if you don't see it, you can email me. It's also on my Facebook page at IE Green. But I'd love to, you know, have some new faces at this event. It's really always just such a wonderful, wonderful event. Some other things coming up that you want to know about tonight, or I should say today, is National Food Day. And that's just a day to celebrate local food and awareness of healthy food. And so this is our annual event at the Port Washington Library. And I will be there with Patty Wood from Grassroots Environmental Education and her daughter Maggie Wood, who is one of the co-owners of Golden Earthworm Farm. And I will be there doing a cooking demo. That's at the Port Washington Library this evening at 7 p.m. Also, this weekend, there's some great things coming up. But actually, October 28th is the Food and Climate panel discussion that is being sponsored by the North Shore Land Alliance. That's taking place at the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. It's free, but they're asking you to register, so you can go to the North Shore Land Alliance website for that. Actually, I have links on my website for all of these events, so you can also check out that. Food Tank, which is a nonprofit organization just doing so much great work in raising awareness about our food system, they are having their Summit and Gala Dinner, which unfortunately is sold out, but it's taking place in New York City. But you can stream it live. You can go to the Food Tank website and find out about how to stream that live. Also, the weekend of November 1st through the 3rd, there's a wonderful retreat taking place called Remembering Who You Are and Maximizing Your Potential. That's at our Lady of Grace Retreat Center, and Maria Michael, who is the sponsor of that, who is the person leading the retreat, is a Native American shaman healer and is just a wonderful resource. So if you are around and want some insight into some native traditional ways of getting in touch with your inner self, this is a great workshop for you. November 3rd, Slow Food North Shore is sponsoring a Slow Beer Oktoberfest in November. That's October 3rd from 4 to 7 at the Old Tappan Brewing Company, which is a new local brewery right here in Oyster Bay. Also, NOFA New York is sponsoring with other NOFA groups a wonderful seminar called Food Solutions Forum. That's taking place at the University of New Hampshire on November 5th. It's from 10 to 1. It is free, so check that out. And the Northeast Sustainable Agricultural Working Group is having their regional conference from November 7th through 9th. I have so many other things on my website. Check out the events coming up. There are really so many great ones that you will want to participate in. I want to share with you my recipe now before Nicole comes on and joins us. This week I am sharing with you my basic seitan recipe. This time of year people are always asking prior to Thanksgiving where you might want to use the seitan in recipes. I always use seitan to make my seitan marsala, which is my standard main course entree during Thanksgiving. And one of the reasons I make that is because it is so not only delicious, but it uses a mushroom marsala gravy that is just perfect for, you know, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, and everything else that you'd want to use. And I find that even the meat eaters who are eating turkey, who have the option of the turkey gravy, end up taking my mushroom marsala gravy. So I'll share that recipe with you next week, but this is the basic seitan recipe. And the reason you want to make your own seitan is because it's really hard to find good seitan out there. Some local producers sell seitan at farmers markets, but to get really good seitan, I recommend making it. So you're going to start with 4 cups of unbleached white flour, 10 cups of whole wheat flour, 2 boxes of Vital Wheat Gluten, and Arrowhead Mills Farm makes a good box of that, 9 cups of water, 1.5 cups of tamari, a 2-inch piece of ginger, and 3 pieces of kombu, which is the seaweed that I always put in my beans when I'm cooking them. But they just they add some umami to the basic seitan and give it that rich flavor. You're going to start by mixing together the flour, the Vital Wheat Gluten, and the water to make a dough. And you're going to knead that dough until it's stiff, which takes probably about 10 minutes. Then you're going to place that in a bowl and cover it with some cold water and just allow that to rest for 10 minutes. And that will tighten up all of the energy in the dough and make it firmer. And meanwhile, while that's happening, you're going to boil 10 cups of water. And you're going to add the tamari, the ginger, and the kombu to that and boil that for 15 minutes and then remove that from the heat and allow the broth to cool. Meanwhile, you're going to immerse the dough in a bowl of warm water now, and you're going to start kneading the dough under the warm water. And you're going to, as you do that, you'll see that all the wheat germ starts coming out of the dough, and you're going to be rinsing that. And so I pretty much put a really big bowl in my sink. I run the warm water onto it, and I start kneading the dough, and then I dump that water out, and then I put some more water in, and I keep doing it until the water is clear and no more wheat germ is coming out of the dough. And that takes at least 8 changes of water, sometimes more. And the final rinse you want to do in cold water, and that, again, will tighten the dough up and make it firmer. Then you're going to separate the dough into 4 equal pieces. And you're going to place each of the dough into an oiled loaf pan and let that rest for 10 minutes. You're going to bring 10 quarts of water to a boil, and you're going to add the seitan dough to the water, and you're going to cook that for 45 minutes until the seitan floats. So basically you're making 4 bread loaf sizes of seitan. And once you've boiled the seitan for 45 minutes, You're going to take the seitan out of that and put it into the cool tamari broth. And now you're going to bring that to a boil and then reduce the heat and let that simmer for 2 hours. And you're going to, just let that simmer for 2 hours. And then when you take it off, you're going to drain it. You can save the liquid for storage if you like, or not. You know, some people like to store it in the liquid. I don't usually do that. I usually just take the seitan out. But one of the nice things also is that if you'd like, if you know what your end goal for the seitan is, let's say you're going to do something Italian with it or you're going to do something Asian with it, you can actually season the seitan as well. So if you wanted to add some oregano, dried oregano and basil and garlic into your seitan dough before you boil it up, you can do that if you are going to be going Italian. Or you can add some ginger, although there's already some ginger and tamari in the water, which gives it a little bit of that flavor. But you can add a little bit of ginger powder and garlic powder to the seitan as well if you want to give that some flavor. But anyway, the beauty about this is you then can slice the seitan on an angle and make really nice large size cutlets for making the seitan marsala, which we'll be doing next week. So enjoy. And now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you my guest this week is Nicole Anderson. And Nicole is the senior manager that's in charge of the Nutrition Incentives Portfolio in the Bureau of Chronic Disease Prevention at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And she leads the department's fruit and vegetable incentive programs, which includes the Health Bucks, which gives people like 2-for-1 coupons to use at farmers markets, and now also the Pharmacy to Farm prescription program, which we're going to be talking about today. And Nicole manages the department's Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Grant, which comes from the United States Department of Agriculture, which supports all of these programs. And Nicole has a Master's of Science degree in Nutrition and Public Health from Teachers College at Columbia University. And she's a registered dietitian and nutritionist. And I'm so happy to have her on. Nicole, are you with me?
I am. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me today. So I'm so excited when I learned about the Pharmacy to Farm program. So I thought maybe you could just start right in by telling my listeners about the Pharmacy to Farm program. What was its inspiration and how does it work?
Sure. So the Pharmacy to Farm Prescriptions Program is the nation's first pharmacy-based fruit and vegetable prescription program for people who participate in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise or more commonly known as food stamps. And through the program, pharmacies or pharmacists write prescriptions worth $30 in fruits and vegetables and issue them to patients filling a prescription for high blood pressure medication. So every time a program participant fills their hypertension medication prescription, they are issued one of these fruit and vegetable prescriptions that they then take to a nearby farmer's market and can exchange for $30 in Health Bucks. Health Bucks are coupons redeemable for fruits and vegetables at all New York City farmer's markets. And the inspiration
for
the program was, our belief that everyone deserves access to healthy food and that, you know, food plays a really important role in our health. And we know that one of the barriers to eating healthy can be cost. Research shows that low-income New Yorkers eat fewer fruits and vegetables on average than New Yorkers with higher incomes. And in fact, I think on average, low-income New Yorkers often, on average, eat about one serving less per day than their higher income counterparts. So we're trying to remove one of those barriers by giving people money to spend on fresh fruits and vegetables while also promoting medication adherence and taking your hypertension medication.
Uh-huh. So what I was going to ask was, what happens in the winter when there's not farmers markets? Do any supermarkets take them, or do they have a guide to show them where there might be a winter's farmers market? How does that work?
Yes, good question. Our program has partnered with year-round farmers markets. So every pharmacy that's participating in our program is located near a year-round market. So participants can get these fruit and vegetable coupons all year round.
Oh, really? That's great. I didn't think there were that many winter markets in the city.
Yeah, there's about 25, 26 that fluctuates from year to year, but there are a number, and we found some really great ones that are located near our great pharmacy partners, and we're working with them to distribute these incentives throughout the year.
Uh-huh. And is it only for people that are on high blood pressure medication? Is there any incentive or any goal to try to get them off the medication by eating more fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, I think that's a great goal. Right now, the program is partnering with patients who are on hypertension medication only. It is a grant-funded pilot project, and so we're focusing on hypertension. We do know that more than one in four New Yorkers has high blood pressure, and that high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and stroke, which are, you know, some of the leading causes of death in New York City. So we're really focusing on that population at this time.
Wow, one in four. That's huge.
It is, but we also know that, you know, high blood pressure is often associated, or, you know, eating a diet full of high sodium foods or a diet low in fruits and vegetables can contribute to high blood pressure, and that fruit and vegetable consumption can help decrease one's blood pressure. So this program is really helping people buy those fruits and vegetables to help lower their blood pressure.
Uh-huh. And how do the pharmacies feel about this? When you're, you know, are they all in compliance? Are they happy to do it? Are they resistant? How do they feel about that?
We've had a really great response from our pharmacy partners. We're at 16 pharmacies, and, you know, they've for the most part, really seem to enjoy being able to offer this program to their patients. It's an opportunity for them to talk about healthy eating and to offer other patient services than dispensing medication. And, you know, especially in this environment where there's a growing number of chain pharmacies and online retailers, this program offers pharmacies a program that they can, you know, give to their patients and help them be able to afford the foods they need to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. And when you say 16 pharmacies, is like CVS one and then all of the CVS chains do it, or is it one particular pharmacy?
We're actually partnering with independent pharmacies. So New York City has a lot of independent pharmacies, and independent pharmacies are more likely to be located in low-income communities than their chain pharmacy counterparts. So we have 16 independent pharmacies that are participating in the program.
Oh, so none of the big chains participate?
No, not right now, no.
Uh-huh. And so so that seems like it would be limiting, huh? 16 pharmacies for all of New York City, including the boroughs?
Yes, we have 16 pharmacies, and we've enrolled over 1,200 participants right now, and have distributed over $85,000 worth of fruits and vegetables.
Wow. So the 16 pharmacies are in the area where most of the recipients live, would you say?
Yeah, so we have, so the 16 pharmacies are spread throughout Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Queens.
And each pharmacy
is located within 1 mile of a year-round farmer's market.
Wait, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Queens. And what about Staten Island and the Bronx, not included?
Not at this time. So one of our requirements for selecting pharmacies was location near a year-round farmer's market. And at this time, there's not a year-round farmer's market in the Bronx. So we're, you know, if a market opens up there, we're interested in exploring expansion to the Bronx. We'd love to offer the program there, but that the lack of the year-round farmers market really limited us.
I would think, too bad, because we know, I think the highest poverty rate is actually in the South Bronx, isn't it? Do you know that or no?
I mean, I do know that the Bronx is one of the poorest congressional districts, so yeah.
Right. Well, we'll have to work on that, getting a year-round farmer's market up there in the Bronx, because that would be really wonderful to expand it up there as well. Now, you also run the Health Bucks program. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Sure, I'd love to. So Health Bucks are $2 coupons that are redeemable for fruits and vegetables at all New York City farmers markets. This season, I believe there were over 140 markets across the city, and over 60% of those markets are located in high poverty neighborhoods. Health Bucks are distributed a few different ways. They're distributed through pharmacy to farm prescriptions, as we were talking about. But they are also distributed to SNAP participants, so people who have food stamps, who shop at farmers markets. For every $5 a SNAP participant spends using their benefits at the market, they get a $2 Health Bucks coupon. So Health Bucks help increase SNAP participants' purchasing power by 40%. And then we also, we give out Health Bucks to community-based organizations across the city to distribute as part of their nutrition and health programming. Each spring, we release an application and invite organizations to apply. We ask them how about their nutrition programming and how they plan to give out their Health Bucks. And then we are partnering right now with over 500 community organizations across New York City to support their nutrition education by giving them Health Bucks.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean for every $5 they spend, they only pay $3 and they use a $2 coupon, or they spend $5 and then they get $2 more of vegetables?
It's the latter. They spend $5 and then they get a $2 coupon to buy more fruits and vegetables.
Okay. Good. That sounds great. And how many participants participate in the Health Bucks program?
We don't have a count of the number of people who participate in the program. That's not a number we're able to track. But in 2017, we did give out more than $1 million worth of Health Bucks.
$1 million in money.
$1 million in Health Bucks to buy fruits and vegetables, yes.
Cool. That's great. And do you work with all the farmers markets, or there's just certain ones that you work with? How does that work?
We invite all farmers markets in New York City that are authorized to accept SNAP to get Health Bucks. So we hold a meeting every spring where we invite all the market operators in, and we issue Health Bucks at that time. So almost all farmers markets in New York City distribute Health Bucks through the SNAP incentive.
Uh-huh. And can you describe, a typical participant in the program?
Sure, I can.
I guess I'm talking about of the pharmacy to farm program.
Yeah. So most pharmacy to farm participants are female, or about 70% of participants are female. Over half are Latino, and over 90% of participants are over the age of 45. And then we also know that over half of participants have reported being worried about not having enough food to eat in the last 30 days, and about 80% agree that fruits and vegetables cost too much. So this group of people who are reaching are food insecure.
How many people are food insecure in New York City? Do you have any idea about that?
About 1 in 5 New Yorkers participates in the SNAP program, and I believe the number for food insecurity is similar. I'm not quite sure offhand, though, what it is.
1 in 5 New Yorkers participate in the SNAP program?
Yes.
Wow. That's huge. So there's a lot of, I mean, we all know that there's hungry people, but you sometimes don't realize how many. And I'm sure that, and there's so many more hungry people that aren't involved in the SNAP program because, you know, so many immigrants and people who aren't documented, they're afraid to participate in those kind of programs. Do you need to be a legal resident in order to participate in these programs?
Well, in order to access the health bucks given out through Pharmacy to Farm and through the health bucks SNAP incentive at farmers markets, you must receive SNAP benefits. So those coupons are really for people who have qualified for SNAP and are getting those benefits. The health bucks that we give out through hundreds of community organizations across the city can be given to anyone. We partner with organizations that are serving low-income New Yorkers and that are offering nutrition and health programming, and it's up to those organizations' discretion who to give the coupons to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Nicole, let's take a couple-minute break. When we come back, I'd love to talk about how you measure the program's impact and, you know, how you see the results of your work and how it's impacting the community. So everyone who's listening, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Nicole Anderson from the Pharmacy to Farm program. Be right back.
The Progressive Radio Network is a thinking person's network for our world's progressive visionaries and stakeholders and great thinkers to assemble on a commercial, free, and listener-supported network. Our provocative hosts speak freely and passionately on intriguing and urgent topics such as health and news and politics and women's issues and philosophy and more that directly impact our lives. Progressive Radio Network takes chances. Our voices and ideas are not always welcomed by corporate media. So Progressive Radio Network is a very important outlet for these great thinkers.
Hey, it's Jesse, PRN station manager. I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805. That's 862-800-6805. This feature will allow your voice to be heard on your favorite PRN show.
Thank you for listening to the Progressive Radio Network.
Stay tuned to PRN.fm for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
It's the Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Stand up, you've been sitting way too long.
Every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
And welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm talking with my guest today, Nicole Anderson. She's from the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and she heads up the Pharmacy to Farm program. And right before the break, I asked her if and how they are measuring the program's impact. So, Nicole, are you with me?
I am, yes.
Great. So can you tell us how you guys measure the program's impact and how it's, you know, affecting those that are participating?
Sure. So the program is ongoing, and we're collecting data to evaluate the program's impact when it wraps up. But we are, a couple of pieces of data that we're collecting is we're first keeping track of how much participants spend on fruits and vegetables through the program. And then we're also measuring participants' fruit and vegetable consumption through a monthly survey when people come to pick up their, when they exchange their, pick up their hypertension medication and get their fruit and vegetable prescription. So every time a participant comes to their pharmacy, they fill out a short survey that asks about the fruits and vegetables that they eat and some behavioral questions. And we're particularly interested in comparing the survey that participants filled out when they signed up for the program, so their baseline survey before they were participating, to their survey responses after having participated in the program for a while. We'll evaluate that data set and try to determine if the program is impacting people's fruit and vegetable consumption.
Mm-hmm. And they get, how much is it? $30 a month, right? Or $30
exactly.
Every time they pick up. That's monthly.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of results have you seen so far? Have you seen some significant results that make you feel optimistic?
Well, we know that when people get their health box, that they are being exchanged for fruits and vegetables, that people are purchasing fruits and vegetables using their health bucks at a very, very high rate. Nearly 9 out of 10 health bucks that we give out through the program are redeemed for produce. And then we just otherwise have anecdotal evidence. We know that the pharmacists are really excited about the program and see it as benefiting their patients. And then we've also heard from participants in the program who are also just really excited to be part of it and to have that extra money to buy fruits and vegetables.
And would you say most people know about the Health Bucks? Like most SNAP recipients are aware that Health Bucks exist?
That's a good question. We know that SNAP participants who shop at farmers markets are familiar with the Health Bucks program. We've done some promotion of the program to try to expand the program's reach to more SNAP participants or people who might not be shopping at farmers markets already. We ran a Subway campaign a couple of years ago, and we've also posted signs and hung posters on bus shelters and local businesses in various communities to promote the program.
Mm-hmm. And are there other nutrition incentive programs that you are in charge of or that the department runs besides the Health Bucks and the Pharmacy to Farm?
Not at this time. Those are the two programs that we're focusing on and that we're running to expand people's access to fruits and vegetables.
Uh-huh. And is there any work that you know of right now to expand the farmers market access in the Bronx so that the program can be brought up there? Or are those just two separate departments and just kind of like watching and waiting for that to happen?
That's a good question. So the health department doesn't run the farmers markets. There are a number of farmers market operators throughout the city. And I think there's a lot of market operators are talking about opening a year-round market in the Bronx or trying to extend existing markets for more months of the year. I think there's a lot of talk and a lot of work behind it. It's definitely something that's on people's radar, and there's a lot of people who would like to see that year-round farmers market access in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, as someone who's followed, you know, food insecurity for quite a while now, I know one of the problems in the neighborhoods where so many of your recipients live is that they don't even have access to a good supermarket in those areas. You know, so many of them have, you know, the small little corner shops, the bodegas, the independent little markets that don't really carry much choice there. And so, you know, it seems like the farmers markets, if they go into those areas, are the places where they can get the fruits and vegetables. Does the department that you work for do anything to try to increase access to supermarkets in those neighborhoods?
The department has a program that promotes healthy foods at grocery stores called Shop Healthy. It's a program that some of my colleagues work on, but it, I believe, works with grocery stores and bodegas to help them stock healthy foods. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I think the department is also exploring expanding incentives to the supermarket environment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that would be good. Because, like I said, you know, that seems to be such a problem. I've, you know, heard so many stories from people who live in areas that, you know, can be called food deserts. And, you know, in order to get some healthy food, they have to, you know, hop on buses and travel quite a distance to get that. You know, and I was thinking that, you know, you want to make these programs as available and easy for people as possible. Does your program have any desire to try to partner with some more pharmacies so that the possibility of being far away from one of your participating pharmacies isn't a deterrent in someone participating?
Well, so the program is grant-funded by that USDA Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Grant, and at this very time, we don't have resources to expand the program beyond the existing sites. But with that said, we are going to continue to evaluate the program and measure its impact and may see opportunities for expansion in the future.
Mm-hmm. And is the program looking to expand right now? You know, in other ways, what do you see as the future for the program?
For the Pharmacy to Farm program, we're going to continue to evaluate the program and measure its impact. We don't have the resources right now to expand beyond the 16 pharmacies, but we're going to continue to operate the program at those sites, focus on enrolling patients at those pharmacies and promoting the program within the communities where those pharmacies are located. And then measure the program's impact.
Right. And does the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, do you have any type of educational programs for recipients of SNAP to try to encourage more healthy nutrition education and eating?
We do. We have a farmers market-based nutrition program. We have staff at between 15 and 20 farmers markets that teach nutrition education and cooking classes each market day. And we offer that nutrition education at farmers markets during the summer and fall months, and everyone who participates in the workshops gets a health buck to buy fruits and vegetables at the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I was at one... I guess it wasn't a farmer's market. It was actually at a food pantry, and there was a nutritionist there who was just showing people the differences and of sizes of how things have changed, like what a normal, you know, soda used to be compared to what a soda is now, what a normal order of French fries used to be compared to what it is now, even a regular the size of a hamburger bun, you know, you know, what it used to be and what it is now. It just seems like portions is sometimes people's biggest problem in maintaining healthy eating and healthy weight is that we've supersized everything and people have come to expect that and people think that, you know, more is better. And, I think it was having such an impact when people were seeing that. You know, you just see before and after and you can see it right then and there. The difference. And I thought that was just so helpful, and people were just really amazed by it. I'm wondering, do you know whether the educators do any of that kind of thing?
Yeah, our farmers market nutrition educators have a curriculum that they follow, and I believe each week there are different lesson plans. I know one lesson plan focuses on eating healthy on a limited budget. I believe there's another lesson on how to, the best ways to store the fruits and vegetables that you're purchasing. It's a really expansive curriculum with a lot of great nutrition education lessons, as well as tips and advice for preparing fruits and vegetables. And also as part of these workshops, the nutrition educators prepare a dish using fruits and vegetables available at the farmers market that day and give participants a sample of it so they can test out a healthy dish and then, you know, may decide to use their health buff to help purchase the ingredients used in that dish.
Mm-hmm. That's good. How many food insecure people did you say there were? 1 in 5 in New York City? Do you know what
Yes.
number that is of people that are in food insecure?
Oh, yes. And just to clarify, about one in five New Yorkers participates in the SNAP program.
Okay, so there's a lot more that are food insecure probably than participate, right?
I believe so, yes.
So do you know how many food insecure people there are in New York City? Any idea?
You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head. I cannot remember.
Mm-hmm. How many farmers markets are in New York? Do you know that?
Yeah, there's about 140 markets in the city this season.
Wow. So that's great. There's a lot of, that certainly has grown a lot over the last bunch of years. And with the health bucks, I know, I think it was started in Michigan, there was double your bucks, and it was like, you know, one, you know, it was for every $2, for every dollar they spent, they got a dollar. So it was, you know, a little bit more than New York City's health bucks. But I, somewhere along the line, heard that you had a lot more health bucks that you could distribute than what's actually getting out. Is that accurate? You don't know?
I'm so sorry. I had to think for a moment. We have, you know, we have other ways of giving out health bucks. Organizations can purchase health bucks for us. So we have, you know, a set pot of, we have funding to support the health bucks that we distribute. And then organizations, elected officials can also purchase health bucks to give out themselves or to give out through local community organizations. So that's another way that we distribute health bucks to New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just wondering if there were health bucks available that are not getting out because people don't know about it. Do you know? You know, I'm just wondering if there's, if more PR is done and more people could access it. Is there a an amount, like a cap that people can participate? I know you said, you know, for every $5 they spend, they can get $2. Can they spend $25 at one time and get $2 coupons?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that last part?
Sure. I'm just wondering if there's a cap on how many health buck coupons a recipient can actually get in one shopping. Let's say, you know, someone spends $25 at the farmer's market. Will they get 5 more coupons so they can spend another $10?
They will. There's no cap on the health bucks distributed at farmers markets. People can spend, you know, there are sometimes SNAP participants who spend a lot more than that, and we match, we provide a $2 coupon for every $5 spent. So participants sometimes get quite a few health bucks to spend at the farmers market.
And do they have to actually have a physical health buck that they bring with them to bring in, or it's something that the farmers just know? You show your SNAP card or something, and then the farmers just kind of give them that much extra?
Sure. So the process for spending SNAP dollars or using your EBT card at the farmers market is, you at most farmers markets, you would go see the market manager. It's usually a tent in the center of the farmers market. And you tell the market manager how much you want to spend using your EBT card or your SNAP benefits, and they then they process, they run that card through an EBT terminal, and then give you tokens in that dollar amount to spend with the farmers. So shoppers who are spending SNAP dollars at the farmers market, they get those tokens, and then they're also given health bucks on top of that. So they spend the tokens and the health bucks with the farmers.
I see. Okay, that clarifies it a bit. Uh-huh. And is there any type of, is it pretty easy for them to do, or is it complicated? Like, does that, sometimes when things are complicated and you have to wait on extra lines and it's a real deterrent to using it, or is it kind of streamlined and easy for people?
Sure. I think it's a pretty streamlined process. We've been running this Health Bucks program and the SNAP incentive program for over 10 years. It's a long-standing program. Market operators, market staff, and farmers are familiar with it, and so the process is pretty streamlined for accessing the Health Bucks at the farmers market.
Uh-huh. And do you know, is this program, I'm now talking about the pharmacy to farm, is that program looking to expand, and are other states following in your model? Because I know you said this is the first national program like this. Is it something that's being replicated in other states? Do you know that?
I'm not aware of any states that are replicating the pharmacy or distributing fruit and vegetable prescriptions at pharmacies. But there are organizations across the nation that are partnering with other medical providers to issue fruit and vegetable prescriptions. We decided to work with pharmacies, though, because we found that they're accessible, they're open most days of the week for many hours, and that patients can see their pharmacist without having to go to a clinic and possibly incurring some medical expenses. So there are organizations across the country who are working with doctors, nurses, and other clinical staff to distribute fruit and vegetable prescriptions. But as far as I know, we are the only ones who are partnering with pharmacists to do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. And is there any type of suggestion or requirements for how they use that $30 coupon that they get for the fruits and vegetables at the farmers market, like, trying to gear them towards healthier ones, or, leafy greens, or some orange vegetable, or something like that? Or it's open to this, to the customer?
Yep, it's open to the customers. They can purchase any kind of fruit and vegetable from the farmers market that they choose. We really want customers to be able to have choice and decide what fruits and vegetables to purchase.
Mm-hmm. So as far as nutritional value for, certain vegetables are certainly healthier for helping to lower someone's blood pressure than others. Let's say they're just going to buy lots of potatoes.
We really want people to be able to select whatever fruits and vegetables that they or their family members want to eat. I think what's most important is that people are consuming these fruits and vegetables, so we really leave that option to them. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh.
I'm so sorry, Nicole. We got disconnected.
No worries.
So I was asking you, I guess, about the education, about, you know, whether or not there was any type of guidance. But you were saying that, obviously, people have their choice and they can choose whatever they like.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we think is really most important is that people are eating the fruits and vegetables that they buy and that they don't go to waste. So we really leave it up to people to choose the fruits and vegetables that they and their family members want to eat.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So we are, believe it or not, we're just about out of time. And again, I'm so sorry that we just got disconnected for a moment. But can you share with my listeners how they would get in touch with you personally or and or the Pharmacy to Farm program if any of my listeners want to find out about participating in the Health Bucks or the Pharmacy to Farm? How would they go about that and who do they contact?
They could go to our website. They could go to nyc.gov and search Pharmacy to Farm. And from there, they'll find more information about the program. They'll be able to see which pharmacies are participating. And there will also be an email address so they can get in contact with me.
Great. Okay, and I'll share it on my website as well so that people can find out about that. And I just want to thank you so much, Nicole, for joining me today. It was really so informative, and I'm so supportive of the program, and I really do hope we can expand it to the Bronx because, I mean, I'm not as familiar with Staten Island. I'm sure there's people that will benefit from there as well, but I know in the Bronx this program would be really needed. So thank you so much for your great work and for joining me. And everyone out there listening, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all again next week.